and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 462. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, mini computers, and whatever else we like to talk about. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I'm joined here each and every week, except last week. We won't talk about that. By the people who you're really here to see, that's, of course, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, the manager, the exalted one, Ardini.
Hey, whoa. Gentlemen. Wow, that's a bit much, man. I don't even know how I can talk now. My head's just filling up this room. My lips have no place to go. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Door, what's going on in your world?
My phone's completely secure, I keep telling myself, even with the CIA, whatever leaks thing that's going on.
No. Your microphone never turns off, Dor.
It does when you power your phone off. At least, maybe it does.
Maybe it does. Maybe.
Maybe it does.
Yeah, only if you pull the battery out. It's the only way you can be sure.
Yeah, because you can't, if you put tape over it, I don't think it's going to change much. I'm doing pretty good. I will say, I went to Cambridge now 2 weeks ago. My legs are still hurting. I mean, age ain't fun. Age is bad.
Yeah, it happens.
I like to walk. I don't think it would hurt me too much to go to Cambridge, except for maybe the flight. I don't know. But.
Well, no. See, to me, the flight was an hour long. And then the very first day, we got one of the, you know, ride-sharing people to come, and I literally spent like 5 minutes trying to get in the back of the SUV. Every time I stepped up, my leg cramped up.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah, so I'm sure the driver was like, what kind of idiots am I picking up right here?
wait, my leg.
and of course, Cody showing nothing but compassion.
Oh, I'm sure.
Saying, you know, cheese and rice, just get in the, you know.
he should have let you in first and just pushed you in.
Hindsight 2020.
I would rather drive 15 hours straight than get on a plane for an hour. Flying, partly because I'm a big guy and planes are not made for big guys, but also just the whole experience. I grew up in Texas around cattle, and the behavior of humans at an airport terminal and the behavior of cows at a food trough, identical.
Pretty identical.
Yeah, I can see that. I like to fly, though.
It's a dehumanizing experience. They treat me, they assume I'm a criminal from the moment I walk on the premises. I've never gone through security without getting a hand job, ever. And then I get on this tiny metal tube stuffed in a chair made for a person half my size. I have to do the walk of shame as they bring me the seatbelt extension. And then, you know, it's just cramps and misery for the next however long I'm on the flight. And then it costs $7,000 for the privilege. No thanks.
It was funny when we left Portland, I chose not to use the magnetometer and get the free massage. And Dor, I think you used the magnetometer and you ended up getting searched like twice as long as I did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I always let them prove themselves right. I probably am a criminal. You better check. I never go without the free massage.
Yeah. I'll say driving was an option, except I would have paid probably just about the same, if not more, after taking tolls into consideration.
Yeah.
Because the tolls up in the Northeast are some of the most absurd things I've seen ever.
And there's certain places you just don't want to drive. And that's probably one of them, right, Dor? I mean, it was traffic just crap all the way there and back, probably?
Oh, I'm sure it would have been. Parking, and then parking the car for a couple of days would have probably cost, like, you know, $200 onto itself. Mm.
Well, I just wanted to say, sorry I wasn't here last week. I wanted to be, but the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I've had migraines since I was a kid, and this was one of the top ones ever. I came home, struggled into bed at about 5:30, and didn't wake up again until about 8 the next morning. So yeah, wasn't happening.
So is it just pain, or do you get other symptoms with your migraines?
Pain, visual symptoms. I don't go blind like some people do, but I see, you know, like lightning. And sometimes I hear a ringing. It just depends. But it's if you've never had a migraine, first off, count yourself lucky. But there's a headache and there's a migraine. It's, you know, it's the difference between, you know, stubbing your toe and having your left ankle amputated. It's just a whole different class of pain.
Yeah, I was going to say there's headache, bad headache, real bad headache, really, really bad headache, and then 10 more notches up migraine. Yeah, and when I was young, I had them frequently. I have much less now, but still when I get them, I literally just go to the furthest corner of the house, turn off all the lights and pray that there's no noise.
Right.
And just veg.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's, you know, like just rolling over makes you want to vomit. The pain is so intense. It's anyway, I don't mean to be a downer, but I'm really happy to be here now as compared to where I was a week ago today.
Well, we're glad to have you back. I've never had a migraine, so this sounds horrible.
It really is.
And speaking of vomit, no, wait, I'll say this is...
oh, yeah, we haven't left the Cambridge story yet, speaking of vomit.
Yeah, there was no vomit in Cambridge. There's a lot of drinking.
Good job.
Well, by the time our third day rolled around, the guy at the Mead Hall bar said, so are you guys going to be coming in like every day from now on or something? Because we literally, like for lunch and dinner, we're kept going there.
Well, that was Mead Hall, not Meat Hall. I thought he told me the Meat Hall bar. I'm like, oh, he wanted you guys to come back every weekend, huh? Okay.
No, M-E-A-D, Mead, the form of like wine-ish beer.
Mutton and mead.
Which they did have.
Did you try it?
Yeah.
Have you ever had it?
Yeah, I've had it many times.
Oh, I've never had it.
It's okay. Honey mead can be too sweet, but they had one there that was definitely less sweet, but you could still taste honey. It was really good.
Huh.
Bit pricey for the cup size, but you know. Mark always, you know, gently, kindly harasses me on the hardware. So I'll say nothing to do with him, but I have no new Android hardware this week.
And no other hardware with a 7-inch screen either, I hear.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for just, you know, jabbing me a little bit. Yes. I don't have my Wii yet. It is en route. It's on the way here.
You're going to call it a Wii?
My Switch. I almost feel lucky that I'm a little bit delayed, and I'm just trying to self-justify this to myself because I've seen the other people with their issues. Yeah. So now when I get mine, I'm going to be prepared. I already have my microfiber cloth ready to put in the dock so it doesn't scratch anything. I already have my screen protector purchased, yada, yada, you know.
Got time off of work planned.
Ironically enough, the day it comes in, I have off work, and the following day off, I have off work. One for a doctor's appointment for my oldest son.
Nice.
One for a doctor's appointment for myself. It just so happens.
Very cool. Take your charge with it. You know, yeah, if you want to feel better about yourself for not going out and buying it opening day, go on YouTube and just look around for problems with the Switch, and you can easily justify your laziness and not getting in line at midnight to get it, because there's tons of videos of problems, but I'm sure that's still, even though there's the videos of problems, there's going to be, you know, they're very far between, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be flaws. Like the one thing I heard was Apple was talking about issues. I want to say it was screen with the iPhone, and it was only like 0.2% or some low number. And then the guy said, well, yeah, but you got to understand that's still like 2 million people. So the best supposedly in the world also ships things where they fail once in a while. I really hope I'm not one of them people, but if I am, I also know Nintendo is a company based in Pride and they'll replace it when they can. You know what I mean? I don't expect to get one the very next day. And I will say one of the coolest things I saw in the last 24 hours regarding the Switch. Well, two things. One, I believe in the EULA, they actually cite using the Android driver for one, I can't remember what it was, but so there is some Android apparently in the OS for the Switch, but I don't think it's complete Android at all. The second thing was Robin Williams. Few actors, entertainers that died affected me in any shape, way, or form. When he died, it really did affect me, I'll say. And the little story is he was such a Nintendo fan, such a believer in the Nintendo back in the day. He was literally like the first person in the state of New York with a NES, with a classic NES. And he started playing Legend of Zelda, and he was so infatuated with the world inside of that little box, he literally named his first daughter Zelda. When she was young, she kept saying, as soon as I'm old enough, I'm going to get it changed. As soon as I'm old enough, I'm going to change. This is stupid. This is bad. This is horrible. All the kids are making fun of me, blah, 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 blah. Well, around the age of like 14, she turned the corner and said, I understand now why he gave me that name, and I'm never going to change it, period. He passed away. Tomorrow, I believe, his daughter is going to do an 8-hour Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild stream, all for charity, for one of his dad's charities that he left behind.
Wow, cool.
Which just proves when you are an awesome human being, you can have awesome human beings as kids.
And sometimes not.
And sometimes not. but I'll say he had a very extravagant roller coaster of a life. But in the end, I do think he was one of the most kindest people in or around Hollywood that has ever existed.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy plays on like cozy TV here on the antenna TVs, and it's kind of neat to watch that. It's just how crazy and over the top he used to be.
Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters is some of the best comedy ever in the history of comedy.
And the thing was, when they were doing it, I'm sure everyone around thought, what in the hell are they doing? They're just feeding into each other's mental instability.
Kind of. So have you gotten any games yet ahead in anticipation of the Switch arriving?
Well, I did. Well, the games are coming with it. I did order Zelda Breath of the Wild Special Edition. I'm literally tempted to not open it up and maybe I could give it away later. I don't know. But also online, region free, I'm going to get at least like 3 or 4 day one. But I know once I boot Zelda up, I don't think I'm going to be playing anything else for like 3 months.
Or showering or going to work.
Are you going to lick the cartridge to
taste it? Never going to lick the cartridge. Never.
Okay.
No need to. If anything, I'll tell my kid to.
Yeah, there you go.
And then like look at his face.
Video it.
All right, why don't we start with some emails? It's been a while since I had an email on the show. Some of these have been hanging around a while.
Well, we had 3 last week, but
it's been a while since I read any emails. Let's go back to February 14th, Valentine's Day, and a fellow named Ivor Davies was spending his Valentine's Day thinking of us. It says, hey guys, thanks for the mention in episode 459. I just finished listening to it, and now I'm going to download the apps I liked the sound of. I recently found an app you might be interested in, if you haven't seen it already. It's called App Annie. You have to pretend, in parentheses, to be a business to register, but once you clear that hurdle, you get access to a database of their apps and rankings across multiple categories and countries. I immediately checked out the new free app rankings for my country and was dismayed and disappointed in my countrymen when I discovered that 5 of the top 10 new free apps in my country were dirty little system cleaners, in quotes. I was further dismayed to discover that these, quote, cleaner apps are popular pretty much all over the world. It's apparent that people aren't getting the message that these apps are dangerous, do nothing but long-term harm to your phone, and will most likely just sell you your personal information to the highest bidder. With the recent revelation that a lot of VPN apps are nothing but junk, and the ever-increasing popularity of junk apps like these system cleaners, shows like yours become more important to help guide people independently around the App Store, helping them install apps that are actually useful and aren't just made for the sake of a quick buck at the cost of your personal information. Your podcast is the only one where I remember being warned about cleaner apps. Nothing on Twit or the other network shows does anything to earn people that they are to learn people that they are potentially downloading poison, and that makes your show well worth the couple of bucks a month I pay in Patreon subscriptions. Keep up the good work, guys. Ivor, pronounced Ivor, not Ivor. But hey, everyone's wrong, so don't feel too bad.
Thank you, Ivor, and thank you for the Patreon donations. Yeah, I installed this. Did you guys install this?
No.
Okay, I installed it, and this would be a really good app if you were a developer, because basically that's what it's made for. It's made to tell you your ranking of your app in the world is that's the intention. You can and see what kind. I mean, if you're a really good developer and you can mold your talents towards a certain trend that may be, popular at the time, you could then develop an app to go along with what's trending in the world. And like you said, it does break it down by regions and countries and things. I didn't have a whole lot of use for it, but I could tell if I was a developer, this would be, you'd have to have this app.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The main reason I didn't was because that woman, animated woman, cartoon woman, completely freaked me out.
Regressions from like school.
Her head is obsessively huge, and it just freaked me out. So I just
that's Annie. You just don't like Annie's looks.
I don't know. She looks like a ginger too. I don't know if I completely
trust
her.
She's a ginger. She's got a little.
Then I'm sure that
she's got a little gray streak kicking too. So she's she's seasoned ginger.
I didn't like Little Orphan Annie. I don't go to Wendy's to eat burgers.
Love Wendy's.
I didn't download App Annie. My fault. Thank you, Ivor. And I will say, I do believe this week one of my apps might be a...
Didn't he just say it was Ivor?
Ivor. Of course we did. Yes, we did. I might be bringing one of those app recommendation apps to this week's show. I'm not going to say it's better than this because they all aren't perfect, I'll say. But I use a combination of them just to keep abreast to newer stuff.
He said breast.
breast. Just one.
Just one.
All right. I guess you're hearing me now since you laughed at that. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I was talking. You were talking. You didn't hear me. I was trapped and alone in my
world. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm sorry.
Eric, why don't you go ahead and bring us your first app of the night?
No more emails? Just throwing them in there?
Yeah, we'll work them in there.
All right, then. So I'm going to bring this one. So I don't remember the name. Oh, I suppose I can look it up real quick. The name of an app last week was called Slidebar, right? And that was the one I didn't like. This app is called Swiftly Switch Pro. So I don't know if there's a thing happening with side launchers and their, their naming
are
conventions.
Are you going to post a link to it? I'm just wondering.
What's that?
Are you going to post a link to it?
Yeah, I just put it. I just did.
You just did?
I did.
Where?
In our chat. What did chat? I get kicked out of that? The Android App Addicts podcast live chat.
Don't believe it's in that chat.
I posted the one for the last app too. Am I in the wrong chat room? I didn't go nowhere. There's no users in this chat.
Mm, yeah, I say because I saw Mark post the App Annie.
Oh, I posted the App Annie. Okay, well let me refresh this.
Unless your name is Mark Cockrell, you did not.
I'm going to reload that our chat room. Anybody who is listening to the show live or wants to listen to the show live sometime, our chat during the show that we do check, even if I'm the only one in it somehow, is at podnuts.com.
So what's this called again?
/live. Android App Addicts /live. All right. Mine is called Swiftly Switch. And it is now going to be in the chat, right?
There it is.
I'm going to put it in there twice. Because
I'm sorry, the URL you requested is not found on the server.
I added a period at the end. I'm sorry about that. I just realized what happened. Okay, so this one is easier to use. And I don't know. I've already bought this. Today it's free, or yesterday it's free. Is it free still for you guys?
No, $1.99.
Ah, all right, sorry. It was free yesterday, so which means it may go free again. But this one is beautiful and customizable. And I don't usually use a sidebar. And since last week, I have been using the one that was mentioned in the show also that comes down from your notification screen. That one was nice.
Yeah, Bar Launcher from Todd.
Yeah, Bar Launcher works really well. I like it. I still have it installed. But this one is very customizable. I have one slider on one side. And you don't have to swipe in from the side either. You've got like a colored bar and you just hold down on it for a second and then it brings up all your apps and it brings them up in a nice way like that. And they stay on there until you do something with them. But you can also customize my other one. I've got just actions like flashlight, Bluetooth on and off, Wi-Fi on and off, volume, brightness, dialer, contacts and stuff like that. So I like all the customization and this one works really well. I'm sorry that the Pro is not, and I don't know the difference between the Pro and the non-Pro, but I wish it would still be free because it's worth free. Maybe worth $1.99 if you're really into these.
Yeah, I'm going to make the link to the free trial version in our notes. Okay, the free version limit, only one trigger zone available, no icon pack support. Favorite selection is fixed at a 4x5 grid and the pull-down notification center and pin app recently only available for 14 days.
Oh, I didn't know about the pull-down notification center. I'll check that out.
Yeah, I'll say I do like the fact that when it first launches, it gives you a semicircle like a pie. They used to be called pie launchers. It gives you a half circle of 7 apps. And then it looks like if you go outside that semicircle, then it gives you your grid of apps, which I think is pretty cool.
I found that you can set it up either way, a grid or a half pie. I don't know. I'm going to use it for a while, see how it goes. I do like having a faster way to get to call, but I didn't want something so easy that I would butt dial anybody. You know, I like to get to the dialer faster than the way I was before.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, and this was Swifty Switch Dash Edge Screen by D Studio. 1,861 reviews, E for everyone. The trial was completely free for 14 days. 1,189 five-star reviews updated March 7th, so it was just updated. Between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, version 3.0.6. So it's mature, is what I'll say.
Yeah, and the paid version's between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. So they must not have had a whole lot of takers on the free one yesterday either.
Well, and it could be a time thing. It wouldn't shock me if it takes Google a little bit of time to add up downloads just because they want to try to limit, quote-unquote, fake downloads, if you will.
Mm. So I'm reading the reviews of this, as I like to do, and it seems like people who like this like it because their phones are bigger than their hands. Being the giant of a man that I am, I've never actually experienced that, but now it makes a little sense to me. I'm sitting here wondering why anybody would ever want this, but now I get it. If you've got little girly hands, because you're a little girly, and you've got a 6.5-inch phone, okay, I get that now. It makes a little more sense to me.
I think it's for people who are like the anti-iPhone look, too. They like a very clean home screen with no icons on it.
So this is a complete launcher replacement.
Well, it could be a complete launcher replacement for the 8 most used apps, the ones so you need to get to quickly. So it doesn't
replace your launcher. That's my question. Does this replace your launcher, or is it just a float-in add-on to your existing launcher?
It's a float-in add-on to your existing launcher. I'm using Nova Prime with this also on it.
All right. Door, tag, you're it.
Okay. The first one I'm going to bring is different, and I'll say it's the only reason I'm really bringing it is because I really like the aesthetics of it. It's somebody who tried to do something different. It's called Meteor App Speed Test Beta. So it's in beta. Most speed tests really don't give you a good graphical display of what's going on. They either just say ping, upload testing, download testing, and then give you the results kind of thing. This does try to make a better looking interface while it's doing your test. But also one of the things it does also is based upon your speed test, it will tell you like what apps you have are good for this type of speed, okay for this type of speed, bad for this type of speed, or, you know, like completely awesome no matter what. Hence, YouTube requires more bandwidth than Twitter kind of thing. So it will also, you know, suggest what apps would be good to use right now. So I'll say if you're newer to the Android smartphone kind of thing, you can then test your speed and then know, oh, well, if I use YouTube here, it's going to probably suck. So let me run Instagram or, you know, something else.
And if it, when it's giving you the recommendations of the apps that would be good right now, is it apps that you have installed or just apps out in the Play Store in general?
I'm 99% sure it was only apps I had installed on my device. Okay. Because like I don't remember seeing Spotify or Pinterest or any of those being shown in my apps listings.
Cool.
Also, what it can do is give you like a map overlay. So you can literally see when you go from place to place to place to place what kind of speed you're experiencing in those locations. Because I will say, it's like in the eye of the beholder sometimes, we don't really notice when we're actually getting faster or slower speeds. I think all the time, sometimes it's just the phone lagging or it's the app itself lagging or the service lagging on the back end. That's not general internet speed. So if you want to also see how do you do at your house, how do you do at work, how do you do at Uncle Joe's house or, you know, at the local Wendy's, if you like that kind of thing, then you can, you know, see how you're doing at those individual spots.
So there's a couple of things here that seem a little contradictory in the description. It says apps included are Chrome, Dropbox, Amazon, Facebook, Flipboard, Gmail, Google Maps, Instagram, Skype, Spotify Music, Street View, Twitter, Uber, Waze, WhatsApp, and YouTube. So that's the 16 apps that it'll score for you. And then down in the advanced notes, it says the overall rating of internet speed depends on the apps you've chosen as your favorites. So if you say, for me, Netflix, which was Netflix on the list? No, it wasn't on the list. If you say YouTube is a must-have for me and you're in a place where YouTube won't perform well, it's going to say that your internet rating is poor based on the favorites given it.
That makes sense. Yeah, there's no Pinterest on there, though, so you're right.
I'll say, I never once saw Dropbox, Amazon, Facebook, Flip, Gmail. I don't have Gmail installed. I never saw Instagram. Don't believe I saw Skype, Spotify.
You don't have Gmail installed? Wow.
What is your mail client?
It's just my way of sticking it to the man. Right now I use MailWise. The main reason I use MailWise is because it does give me Exchange integration, but it also allows me to do Exchange bypass. So no one is the owner operator of my device except for me. The only thing it doesn't have is calendar app inside the email. It takes advantage of the default calendar app on the phone.
It's using Google Calendar though. No, that's fine.
Yes. Yeah.
MailWise, I might have to install
that.
One.
I think we just made that another app pick.
Yeah, let's put that. How long ago did you bring that to the show?
Maybe 10 weeks ago, maybe, I'll say.
Okay.
So it's a favorite from the attic. One word or two.
I see it listed. Email Exchange Plus by MailWise, $4.49.
Okay, well, see, it was email Exchange Plus, if you'd said that.
Yeah, I remembered that one.
Right. Yeah, so I honestly have this app installed just for the beautification speed test aspect of it. And I really do like fast.com as a speed test, but it does not tell me my upload speed. So I'm one of the people I really want to know both, not just my download speed.
My go-to is speedof.me. It's not an app, just a website. Super simple HTML.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using it for years.
Yeah, then if you go to speedofme.m, you get the mobile version. And the thing is, what I like about it is, on the mobile, you can use either the desktop or the full. And when I do it, I get similar results. So it's not like one is extraordinarily bad or good for mobile experience.
It always says speeds are a little slower than everybody else, which for some reason makes me trust it more. All right, let me read another email. This one comes from our friend Todd Evans, who offers yet another app. So our listeners are stepping it up with their own apps tonight. He says, hey guys, been ages since I've written, but I'm going to get back in the habit. Some huge life changes have brought me east from California to the crazy affordable Midwest.
Welcome, friend.
We bought what would be a $1 million home in California, located about a half an hour north of Cincinnati. Don't tell anyone we paid about $185,000. It's just between us and 6,000 of our closest friends. My new job is driving a 53-footer from Cincinnati to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and back every night. We haul parts for Ford, resupplying their assembly line plants. I'll be picking up Mustang frames. I have about 9 hours of uninterrupted podcast time available to me.
Ooh. Nice.
Anywho, wanted to pass along a little puzzle game that's given me and my grandsons plenty of entertainment. Paper Train is a puzzle game where you have to throw switches to stop trains from colliding with each other. Standard puzzle fare, really. Where it differs from is in presentation. The unique graphics are reminiscent of what your drawings would look like if you were planning a model railroad. There are fun animations of airplanes and helicopters that fly across your screen. What makes it challenging is the need to use the boost button to gain stars that you need to unlock the next level. The puzzles get harder as the levels progress, obviously. However, the need to hit the boost button in an already frenetic environment makes it practically impossible, for me anyway, since I'm not a gamer like Eric. The grandsons get a huge kick out of the awful crashing and destruction that follows a collision. Sometimes the oldest will start a level just to watch them all crash. Typical boy, huh? Anyway, to my fellow listeners, go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw some coin their way. They deserve it for all the time and effort that goes into production. I give every month, and you should too, if you can, of course. Keep up the great shows. Well, thanks, Todd, for the kind words, for the donation, and the app. You're just a triple threat.
Wow, two Patreon subscribers in a row. That's very cool. This is, I didn't install this, but I remember looking at it. It's exactly how he described it. It looks like a top-down blueprint of train tracks. It's weird that they have the Hoover Dam and the Pentagon as two of the levels where they've got you got train tracks driving all around them. So neat. I wonder if he plays this on a tablet. I think that's why I didn't install it, because I wanted to see it more on a larger screen.
Yeah, I would think you would appreciate it more on a tablet interface, because I am almost like infatuated with the drawings. To me, they just look good. You know, my oldest son is now thinking, at least he's becoming more appreciative of art. So I'll definitely throw this his way.
And it's clearly hand-drawn art. It's not, 8-bit Minecraft wannabe. Somebody spent some time on this stuff.
Well, I'll say it's hand-drawn, but it's also obviously digitally manipulated, because like the cargo parts of like trucks on the ship, there's only a couple of them. You can tell if you look at them, there's only a couple different types of them, and they were just like copied and pasted.
The real use of copy-paste.
Yeah. Well, and that's, hey, I don't even draw, so I think, they can do that. Very cool.
So good for explosions, too. Who knew?
Well, when stuff goes boom, it's better, right?
All right, so Eric, it's back to you in the round robin.
All right, back to me. Okay, I'm going to bring an app called Glasswire. This was suggested to us in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community, and it's called Glasswire Data Usage Privacy. What this app does is it monitors your data usage in a very nice, very informative graphical way, much more than what you get by just going to your settings and looking at your data usage. It breaks down exactly how much per month you've used on your phone for LTE or mobile and also Wi-Fi. And so for me, I used to use 8 to 11 gigs a month when I had unlimited. And now that I'm on Google Project Fi, I use around 1 gig a month, but use a lot on Wi-Fi instead. So it's nice just to see, I've had it installed for a couple days, and I thought I had a lot better numbers here than this earlier when I looked at it. Oh, that's in the last 5 minutes.
Does it differentiate between Wi-Fi and mobile?
It does, yep. So I've used 60.1 megabytes of mobile data and 1.2 gigabytes of Wi-Fi. And it does it colors for that.
Yeah, I'll say it is very pretty looking. And I also like the fact that it not only differentiates mobile versus Wi-Fi, but it also does upload versus download numbers. Mm-hmm. So you can see if your device is sending a lot of information.
And then it breaks it down by apps too. It shows you how much data you're using for each app. And it cascades them down by YouTube's my number one app that I've used the most data or, whatever. But then it also tells you how much of that was Wi-Fi and how much of that was mobile data on each app too.
Yeah. And it gives you one click quick access to see what kinds of permissions that the apps have, which I think is a nice little touch. Yeah.
So if you see something like your flashlight app using, 100 megs of data every time you turn it on, danger, Will Robinson.
Right. It gives you all kinds of, information. Like YouTube, it says, first installed January 1st, 2009. Last updated February 24th, 2017. First network activity March 8th, 2017. That must have been because that's when I installed the app.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good. Yeah, free. Installed. Good way to monitor your stuff. I think it was free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely free. And it's, again, Glasswire-Data Usage Privacy by SecureMix LLC. 141 reviews, average reviews of 4.6, 104 five-star reviews. Updated March 5th, 2017. Again, updated all the time kind of thing. Installs between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Current version 0.0.42R. So this is new, quite new.
So I just installed it. I wanted to see if it would make use of historical data from my phone. It does not. So it starts from the moment you install the app. Mm-hmm. I was just curious if it was... I didn't know if Android logged that data for other apps to make it accessible or what.
Well, it might. I'm guessing it doesn't. Instead, what's happening is this app is monitoring the active log and, scraping the data out of it, is what I'm going to guess. Or else it would have pre-populated.
All right, Mr. Door Door Geek, you're up.
Okay, the next app I'm going to bring, I think I actually sent this one to Eric. Begged him to at least launch the app and at least listen to the first intro song.
Yeah. No, this was great. And thank you, Door, for this one.
This was borderline insane or genius. It's kind of hard to say. I'll ask everyone, you be the judge of this. It's called Dandy Dungeon by DMM.com. E for everyone 10 and up. Everyone 10 and up. 7,771 reviews, 4.6 average rating, 5,908 five-star reviews. Updated March 1st, 2017, between 100,000 and 500,000. And current version is 2.1.2. And I do like the fact that every time there's a genuine update, you literally go through the update in the game. Really quick. The basic of this story is you are a character that looks remarkably like Mario, who works for a game company, who essentially gets fired, quits, separates from the company, and you're in his apartment and you're helping him make a game, debug a game, test the game, and play the game. And Like when you clean up his room, when you haven't played the game for a day, when you clean up his room in one tap, he'll go through the room and he'll find items like health, magic, weapons amongst the dirt and the laundry and the trash in his room. And a pretty girl moves next door that just happens to look virtually identical to like, Penelope from Donkey Kong. And his goal then is to win her over. And he thinks if he does the game right, he'll win her over. A different mechanic for the dungeon fighting. Okay. What it basically is, it shows you the entire dungeon floor, which is, I want to say like a 6x6 grid. And you have to tap where he is at and drag a path throughout the dungeon. And if you miss cubes, squares on the dungeon before you hit the exit, you take damage because of it. You can, in the middle of your route, use magic, use health, use special weapons, stuff like that. Different is the main thing. Utterly, utterly, utterly different than every other game I think I've seen. And at the same time, I had some fun, I'm not going to lie.
In between levels, you go back to coding, and this guy just goes nuts, typing away on his keyboard, coding the next update to the game. And right. Yeah, in the description, it mentions that he's 36, and that girl next door is 18, which isn't creepy or nothing. But
it says you might as well put her in the game, too. It probably won't even be creepy or weird at all.
The right. Game is, you know how much I love 8-bit type games, or don't, ever.
Or don't.
This one... I'm not a gamer. I don't like 8-bit. This game, everybody needs to just install it and just check it out for, well, tell yourself you're going to check it out for a minute, and you'll at least check it out, I would say, for at least 5. You know, once you start seeing this, you it's something you really can't put down. And I ended up putting it down. I mean, it wasn't like I got stuck into it like some games really get me stuck, but it was a very funny, neat experience to begin with. I didn't go probably nearly as far as Dor did with it, though.
Well, I'll say this. I tried to go slow through everything to just enjoy it. The big mm-hmm. example is at the end of a level, at the end of whatever, your character like stands there with his hand up holding his sword with his armor on, and then it fades to the developer in his underwear standing on his bed holding his hand up like he was holding the sword,
yeah.
which obviously he wasn't. But it also says it's the very first RPG romance programming game. And I think it might be. Just download it. Listen, I'm telling everyone, download it. Just listen to the theme song and let it play a loop in like maybe a minute and a half or whatever. Just listen to the lyrics very carefully. And I think it will tell you everything you need to know about the guy behind this game.
That's what I wanted to ask you too. Did you play this game with the sound on while you were playing to hear like his little banterings and the way he talks and they both talk to each other?
I did for like a half an hour, then I just muted everything.
Okay.
But yes, I did hear the...
And when he ends the level, yip, 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 yeah, hooey, or something like
yeah. that. Yeah, just stupid, stupid fun game is all I got to say.
Yeah, great. Good times with the Dandy Dungeon.
So does the app make you log into your Google Play account to play it?
I believe it did.
So mini rant coming here. that is becoming such a thing. Everybody making everybody log in. I don't want to log in to play a game. But one of my favorite games, I've been playing it ever since I heard about it on this show for years now, Current Stream, little puzzle game. It's a great standing in line at the grocery store game. But with the most recent update, between every transition, before and after every level, so it's like 3 times between levels, it says, hey, log into your Google account. And I hit back. And it says, no, really, log into your Google account. And I hit back. And then I hit next level. Log into your Google account. No, I don't want to. All right, now here's the puzzle. And it's super annoying, and I don't get it. What? Clearly, it's got to be for tracking purposes.
Well,
that's the only reason they would be so keen on making me want to log in.
Tracking, I guess, but it's also the gamer score whole kind of like Xbox gamer score kind of thing, where I don't know, I think I'm level 18 in the Google Play games thing, because I do. I don't care about logging in. I mean, nothing is private. As long as I have a smartphone, nothing is private. I'll give it away. Well, I don't care.
You guys know me. I'm not a privacy Nazi. I just don't see the point.
Well,
if there's some reason for it, if I get some benefit, but this game is not multiplayer. It's not competitive. There's no reason to log into this game to play this game.
But there probably are what do they call them?
Achievements.
Yeah, there's probably achievements you don't see.
that's not a yeah. It doesn't count. Everybody gets a trophy for showing up. That doesn't count.
Well, everybody gets a trophy for passing level 7 in less than 2 lives or something, you know? Yeah. If you do that. I mean, I don't know. I don't care. I've got a Microsoft account just for that on Xbox because they pretty much require that too. But
I just wondered if you got guys had noticed that more and more apps getting more and more obnoxious about that.
Well, I have too. I basically uninstalled Google Games or Android Games, whatever the hell it was called, at least 6 months ago. And honestly, I think because people opting out of that, Google is either requesting or asking or nudging developers to have them log in through Google. And I've seen it also log in through Google or Facebook.
Right.
Seems to be the normal standards. I hate to say it. I think it's one of those things where what they really want is sometime future in the game for you to say, you just did this. This was awesome. Don't you want to share this with your friends?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, especially on Facebook.
Right. That's my excuse, I think, why they do it. But me no fool, me never fall for that. So when I do have a game that says that, literally, Mark, this is what I do. I, at least once a month, I review all of my accounts that can be connected, and I go through them once a month and I kill everything I'm not using anymore. So Dandy Dungeon, I played for a couple weeks, less than 2 weeks after I was done playing it. I went back to my Google account. I saw it was there and I disabled it.
There's a lot of people who will show up in feeds of Facebook. I don't know, maybe Google Plus. I don't see it in there too much, but like just a running ad. Their whole media stream is just a running ad for some slot machine game or something.
Yeah, I have unfriended people for that more than once.
And that SUP game that I brought 2 weeks ago or last week, whenever it was, that little racing game. Like if you shared the game on Facebook, you got 20 diamonds, you know, something that you need to keep playing and upgrade your car or whatever, just by clicking the Facebook button on the game, which was a huge bonus if you wanted to give it away like that.
Yeah. On Twitter, I've had people shout out to Podnuts or me, and it's obvious, you know, it isn't just some random person, and I follow them. And then days later, I unfollow them because all they do is either constantly post YouTube videos that they liked or achievements in games. And that's the one thing I'll say really quick, retro diversion, back in 20 minutes or whatever, 50 minutes now. Nintendo Switch has no achievement mechanism right now. And I beg them to never put an achievement mechanism in because I don't play games for achievements. I play games for satisfaction. I don't play games for high res, first person shooter being cussed out by children. Hmm. I play video games for fun, and so far Nintendo keeps playing games for fun, and I really hope they continue on that that angle and they don't do any achievements whatsoever.
Quick question on that. Does that have an app store at all?
It does have the Nintendo eShop, which is now region free, so you can freely create accounts in Japan, the UK, or Europe or whatever, log into those eShops even, and purchase games that are exclusive to those regions.
Hmm. That's cool. Nice little thing they did there.
Yeah. I like it. Well, I will like it.
Well, all right. Let's move on to another email. This is from our friend Jason Parker. It says, "Hey guys, I thought I'd send an email with a couple of things. First off, I've been listening for about a year and look forward to every new episode. This podcast and many other Podnuts podcasts have helped me through almost every workday. I've been kicking around the idea of throwing some money your way after the latest podcast. You have my Patreon, and after the latest podcast, you have my Patreon support. Also, Mark's comment of paying for what you enjoy has really changed the way I think. I encourage everyone who enjoys this podcast to go to Patreon and give back to those who put in the work for our entertainment and app discovery. Secondly, I mentioned Slidey Sidebar in the Google Plus community, and I almost regret it. I, too, like Eric, downloaded this, tried to work with it, and ended up deleting it. I'd like to redeem myself by suggesting another app called OmniSwitch, which was originally part of the OmniROM. This app is very smooth, customizable, and very handy. Another app I would like to mention is Powder Game. My son mentioned this game, so it was installed. It's a fun little physics time waster. Thank you guys for everything you do, and keep up the great work. I couldn't find OmniSwitch in the Play Store. Maybe you guys will have better luck with it.
It looks like it's not available in the Play Store right yet. OmniROM was a pretty popular ROM. I'm sure it still is. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. But quite frequently when these ROMs become popular, the little niche things that they differentiate themselves, slowly get pulled out and get turned into standalone apps. Right now, you can get Omni Switch from GitHub. You can download and install on your device. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before it gets in to Google Play. I will say this is the kind of side launcher that I kind of like because it's at the same time as being completely out of your way. It does give you some nice flexibility, it looks like.
Yeah, I didn't look at this one much, but I don't know. He should check out the one I brought earlier in the show. it's similar to that.
And I just got to say, I appreciate the fact that somebody somewhere in the world listens to me. My children don't, but hey, it's at least there's a podcast listener that does.
What'd you say, Mark?
I don't think he was even talking. I think his mic was muted again.
Well, and I'll say that's one thing that I think, dare I say, drew me to Mark, and maybe Drew marked me. I don't know. I'm a firm believer in supporting those who support you. If we willingly go and spend $10-$20 to go to the movie theaters, which is essentially a 2.5 hour thing, and that's it. And you know, this podcast alone, we easily put out that amount of time every month. So it's like Mark says, if you like it, you know, support it. We, on the other hand, are unlike Hollywood. We're not asking for $20 for 2 hours. We're just saying anything, period. You know, and it is all appreciated, period. And we do have a new Patreon that I still haven't done yet, but it will be on the website. It will be on patreon.com, Android App Addicts, which is if we do hit the $200 mark, which we are more than halfway there, we will have guaranteed content every week of some magnitude. It might be, if everyone's off, it might be me screen sharing a game I'm playing or screen sharing a new productivity app that I think is cool. It might be Eric recording something when he walks home from work or something. It could be anything is what I'll say.
Cool.
But something.
Yeah, sounds good. And if somebody wants me to cook them popcorn, I'm really good at cooking popcorn to go along with the movie theater theme.
Well, that's good to know. And I'll ask Eric, did you take a look at the powder game?
No.
And the only reason is because as soon as I saw it, I thought to myself, I could see Eric losing some
time.
Well,
a physics-based game I'm always up for, yes.
Yeah, this is like the manipulatable sand.
Oh, like sugar.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but with different kind of, like some of them it's falling down, sometimes it's an explosion, sometimes it's a swirl of wind. So the
sometimes it's people.
Wow, I'm looking at the video for this game, and yes, this is definitely my type, and good for his kid to like this. A smart kid.
And this is another one I'm going to have to give my son, and I'm pretty sure he's going to just be giggling the whole time.
This would be beautiful on a tablet, too. Wow, there's a lot of cool levels. Installed. Thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Parker. That's great app.
Well, speaking on behalf of him, Jason, cool. Because I know if I show something to somebody and they show great joy, enthusiasm, wanting to do it, I know I feel better. So I'm sure you just made Jason feel good.
Well, yeah. Well, and I think this game's going to make me feel better. So we all give.
All right, Eric, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to bring my crap app of the week. I don't know. It's not a crap app. It works. I mean, it's not like it doesn't work. This is called Dice with Ellen. You know, everybody's favorite Ellen DeGeneres has put her little spin on the game of Yahtzee.
Great.
And that's all it is. It's totally her, you know, it's Yahtzee. It teaches you how to play Yahtzee if you never knew how. But yeah, this is 100,000 to 500,000 downloads for Dice with Ellen. You know, she throws a little humor, her Ellenish humor in every now and then.
Ooh, I'm not convinced she has humor, but I'll let that pass.
Yeah, that's to each his own on that one. But
well, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I like people like, you know,
Robin Williams,
Richard Pryor, Robin Williams.
She was a stand up at one time, wasn't she?
And there's a reason why she's not. I'm just saying, because I did watch her when she was doing stand-up, and there were specks of, but not, you know.
Yeah.
There's a reason why she's not doing it anymore.
She was
head-to-head with Ellen fans from around the world. So it's just an opportunity to hawk her own show in the form of Dice. Well, this whole thing is just so unsavory to me.
It is, but I will say, if skill was actually involved, I would download it, and I would play it, and I would crush
Are you good at Yahoo? There is skill involved in this game.
There is no skill.
There is too. You got to know when to play your, where to put your four, if you want to roll for, try to make a full house or not, or just stop there. And there's some skill to the game of Yahtzee. So you don't crush at Yahtzee? Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
Every time I've played Yahtzee, been around Yahtzee, Yahtzee is chock full of random luck.
There is some of that. There is some random luck, but if you play your dice right, you can beat other people.
It's the same reason I don't go to casinos. I don't like random luck. I like crushing.
Okay, Mark, you have to have played Yahtzee, right?
Maybe when I was a child.
I don't
have any memory of it.
Well, Yahtzee's a good game when you're camping and it's raining out. So that's where most, I would say all 99% of my hours of playing Yahtzee came during those two, you know, when those two scenarios meet, camping and rain, that's when I played this.
Well, see, I'll have a Nintendo Switch soon, and so I won't need that. But I used to play Uno. I liked Uno better than Yahtzee because Uno at least had the perception of there had to be at least some planning.
Sure. Involved. Oh, yeah, there's definitely for Uno. I mean, there's planning when you're playing poker too. You know, poker and Yahtzee are almost the same. You know, really.
I was not likely to install this anyway, but Becky Lucas, in her review as of March 7, 2017, just told me that I never will.
All right.
She said, love Ellen and the idea of the game, but one, no way to turn off sound. That's it. I'm done. Two, when it's suggesting people to play with, I couldn't exit out of it or go somewhere else in the game. It kept giving me more people, even though I'd say later. Very annoying, removing the game. If you can't mute the sound, nope, not happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a podcast listener, or you might want to listen to music. You know, yeah, you have to.
Here's another one where Sarah Brown doesn't like I don't like how they force you to do certain things. For example, if you connect to Facebook, you have to start a new game with someone. You can't just go back and do something else. Oh, I don't know. No, maybe not. I was thinking maybe they forced you into doing Facebook, but I don't know. Yeah, that's my crap app. They're out there just to make sure everybody knows that all is not well. Most is, but not all. In the Play Store.
It just makes me want to hit somebody. I don't know why it angers me so much, but it really, this just every time I see this blatant, non-sophisticated opportunity to shove Ellen down your throat, it just, I don't get it. It makes me mad. I don't know why.
Would you prefer Sarah Silverman Billiards?
You know, it's and it's not who it is. It's what it is.
Okay. I like Sarah Silverman. I guess she's funny. No?
She was funny for a couple minutes.
What about, what's that girl's, that blonde girl who's,
Oh, not funny at all.
You know, like, what's her name?
Not funny at all.
You know who I'm talking about then.
Yeah, the one that does the Bud Light commercials. Not funny at all.
Oh, the apparently they think it's okay to sell beer by making her get run over by rhinos?
Not that one.
That one?
No.
Okay.
No.
That was McCarthy.
Yeah. She's done movies with her, though.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Man, I can't remember her name. Oh, well. Anyway.
It wasn't even a beer commercial, was it? See, that's the ads are so ineffective these days. You remember the ad, but not what they're selling. All right. Anyway, off of this. Door, save us with a good app.
Man.
A good app. I said a good app.
Okay, fine. I'll give you a good app. And this app, the reason it's good is because this is the version one of the game. Version two is coming out on the Nintendo Switch. So it must be good, right? I mean, it has to be good. It's called the Escapist. There's a couple games on PC called, it's a prison simulator where you're the warden, you're the builder, you're the architect. Mm. And your goal is to build the most secure prison with having as much features and cells and stuff in it. This is almost the opposite. This is where you are a prisoner or a group of prisoners and you're trying to escape from prison, but not only escape from prison, but then when you get out of prison, survive at least a little bit. And there is definitely crafting involved. Like you can make a shim because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And I'll say on the Switch, one of the things they're going to have is immediate drop-in multiplayer games. So you can literally be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour into a game, and somebody can walk up with their Switch and join you in the middle of the gameplay kind of thing.
Did you escape? Did you get out of the fence?
I bought the $4. I never once made it completely out of prison. They kept getting me. But this is, I will say, it has my tugging at my heartstrings with the graphical quality of said game. Mm. I'm not going to lie to it. The real reason, honestly, I bought it was to support the developer, because when it comes out on the Switch, Escapist 2, I'm going to probably buy that too, because it just looks cool and sounds fun, to be honest. I personally thought, without having to actually go to prison.
Nobody wants to go to prison. I mean, this developer's pretty big. They had the game Worms and Flockers.
Oh, I do remember Worms. Yeah, this is the Escapist, top developer by Team 17 Digital Limited. T14 does contain ads, $3.99 to buy. Hence, only 268 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, 195 of them. Updated March 2nd, 2017. So even though this is the last version of the game, they're still updating it, putting it out there. Between 5,000 and 10,000 installs, version 1.0.1.
So do you think this came out exactly the same, or just weeks behind the Part 2 version for the Switch?
What I'm going to guess is this came out a while ago, and now they're just doing the ending of saturation into everything it can possibly get, while at the same time they're creating the second game. And one of the reasons they can is to buy a Nintendo Switch developer unit is only, I want to say, was it $5,000? Which normally, like Xbox and PS dev units, literally cost like $20,000. So even low-level successful people on other platforms will have enough money to buy dev units for
that
and create games for that. And unfortunately, the nature of the beast, like the cheapest game you're probably ever going to find on the Switch is 15, 20 bucks, 25 bucks, somewhere around there.
But even with that small barrier of entry for the developers, you'd think that that would open it up to, you know, more Android-ish style, like game, like Play Store-esque games rather than
full features. There's definitely that, but just because you're on that platform, full games are $60. So they can get away with charging a third of the price for downloadable games like World of Goo, Human Resource Machine, and Inferno, which are three games that were on PC and on Android for a while. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to buy them as a three-pack on the Switch. I want to say it was $15 for all three of them, which on Android you would have probably paid $1.99 a piece.
Right. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, that's 10 apps. So I'm going to empty my tank of emails, and then you guys can empty your tank of apps from here. The last two emails we've got are just thanks from Patreon, Sir Jared Gibbs, for your awesome pledge, and Jason Parker for your awesome pledge. You know, as we already said, it's appreciated is too small a word to use. It validates what we do and why we do it. It's more than just a couple of bucks here and there. It is validation for the fact that we're not wasting our time. And that's valuable, and we appreciate it. Thank you guys for standing up and being counted for us.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And without further ado, Eric, empty that tank.
No, I ended up with my crap app. I didn't.
Oh, it's done.
Okay. Nowhere to go after that.
Well, okay. I know Dor can just unload on us if he wants to.
I'm going to still take it easy. One of the apps here is called Apps Fire. Apps 100% free. Now, I used an app for the longest time, and I still use it, called App Sales, where they show you games and apps that have been discounted. Well, they just implemented a new tab in that app, now free. So it's things that used to cost money that are now free. What this app tries to be is your daily notification of an awesome app that's free. I've only had it installed for, I think, 3 or 4 days. Two of the apps I already knew about. I already installed weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks ago. One of the apps I looked at wasn't worth downloading. And then one of the apps I believe I haven't brought yet, I saw on this app as well. It's decent. It's just a daily reminder. Like we used to have the Amazon app of the day. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing, just in Google Play. If it's your kind of thing, every day you want random apps thrown at you, then this might be a good fit for you, I'll say. Okay, I'm going to bring this one just because it has a great name. I'm going to do this one. This one is called Dub Space. Think of this as a hybrid crossover between Asteroids and Ragamuffins, is what I want to say.
I don't even know what a Ragamuffin is.
Jamaican thing. It's basically a guy floating around in space wearing Rastafarian headgear, shooting a shotgun at aliens, but every time he shoots his gun, it also has recoil, which makes him go back.
Nice.
There's no other way to explain this game except for Rastafarians in space, I think is how I could describe it. It's just unique enough and different enough to catch my eye, and at least I downloaded and played it for 5 minutes.
I like the one screenshot that's got Marcus Garvey in the background, graffitied on a wall. Marcus Garvey got some major cred here in this game.
Yeah. It's just period different enough is what I just tell people. This is when the guy's dreads are flying everywhere, but this is a dub space by a tribute clash, E for everyone, 10 and up, completely free to download and install, 22 reviews, 4.8 average reviews, 20 of the reviews are 5 stars. Updated February 1st, 2017. Installs between 500 and 1,000. No version listed, which tells me it's probably very new.
All right. According to Mikhail Novosletev, says, great game, interesting controls, and awesome soundtrack and story based on one of my favorite novels, Neuromancer.
Oh.
Who knew? Strongly recommended to play with everyone with passion to cyberpunk, dub, and shooting.
Oh. Well, there you go. He knows more than me.
All right, something worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
I really just want to thank everyone for their support. Thank everyone for their Patreon support. And again, we will guarantee content every week if we do hit that $200 limit. Remember, Podnuts is extremely largely a ad-free network. We only have a couple ads on the website and only a couple ads on a couple of the shows. To keep the network that way, we need you people to support us. We're not asking for enough money to buy a steak dinner every lunch kind of thing. We're literally just asking money to help keep the network on, to give Eric and Mark a little love money every now and then, showing them thanks for continuously coming out, continuously bringing their A games, and continuously supporting this network as, you know, they do.
Agreed.
And I'll just follow up with my mantra for the last couple of years. Pay for what you like. If you go to a restaurant and spend $8 tipping a waitress for 30 minutes of their time and don't think about it, no reason not to tip Door for way more than 30 minutes of his time every week. Just saying.
$8? I don't know. That's big tipping.
Well, you know, I've got a family of 5, so anywhere other than Taco Bell, I'm spending $100 on dinner. And so even at 15%, that's a $15 tip, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll say just really quick, conferences coming up for me. Kansas Linux Fest, I believe first week in May, Unconvention, I want to say mid-September in Washington, D.C., and then Ohio Linux Fest, which should be like first or second week typically in October. I'm going to start a new show. In that show, I'm going to give updates like that in the show of what's the next conferences I'm going to and what were the last conferences I went to and everything in between that is nonsensical.
Yeah, I'd like to get to one of the conferences with Door. I'm not sure which one or when it will be because I'm always my schedule is pretty packed, and we gotta get Mark out to one of these too at some point.
Well, Eric, I'll tell you just like I tell everybody else. Anybody has a conference near them that they think I would like in any shape, way, or form, just let me know. If I can make it, I will make it. If I can't make it, well, I guess I'm not going to make it.
Do you like Municipal Clerks of Illinois?
I could.
I'm usually there.
There's enough alcohol involved. All right, let me read the app rundown, starting with App Annie by App Annie, Swiftly Switch Pro by D Studio, Meteor App Speed Test by OpenSignal.com, Exchange Mail Plus by MailWise, Paper Train Reloaded by IsTom Games, Glassware Data Usage Privacy by SecureMix LLC, Dandy Dungeon by DMM.com, Powder Game by Dan Ball, Dice with Ellen by Scopely, The Escapist by Team 17 Digital Limited, AppsFire, 100% free by AppsFire, and Dubspace by Attribute Clash. Those are, if I counted right, 12 apps. We did you a solid this week, people.
nice roundup. Thank you, Mark.
And I guess without further ado, we've all had our say. So I'll just say good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll see you next week because we're done for this week's episode of the Android App Addicts podcast.
Hey friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.